101.9 FM, live and local. This is the Morning Primetime Newsmaker.
Our Newsmaker segment's brought to you by Mel's Tire at 915 Graham, where service is not expensive. It's priceless.
This is Allison of Mel's Tire. Winter weather can bring ice, snow, and slick roads. Mel's Tire has the Yokohama tire that will get you where you need to go. From the Yokohama Avid Ascend to the Geolander ATGO15 or Geolander HTGO56, you'll get dependable performance from your Yokohama tires. And remember, Mel's Tire offers quality service on your vehicle's brakes, struts, shocks, front-end alignment, and mechanical work. Come see us at Mel's Tire, 915 Graham Emporia, where service isn't expensive, it's priceless.
KVOE, we are live and we are local, and we are happy that you're with us on this Wednesday morning, 7:19, 3 degrees, wind chill of minus 9. And we're very pleased to be joined this morning on our Primetime Newsmaker as we get to our legislative preview, the start of our legislative preview, by Kansas House 76 District Representative Brad Barrett with us here this morning. Brad, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing well, sir. How about yourself?
Doing good, thanks.
Thanks for joining us, Brad. How are things?
Absolutely happy to be here.
Great. How are things going for you in advance of next week? Because obviously your schedule is going to change a fair amount, to say the least.
Yeah. A lot to learn. I've been receiving a lot of email communication, trying to do all the studying I can on all the upcoming legislative issues and talking with constituents here in the great 76th district. So, it's like drinking from a fire hose, as many say, but I'm ready for it.
So let's back up a little bit. What prompted you to run for the seat first, Brad?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, our current representative, Eric Smith, had kind of discussed that he may be ready to get out. He's got a lot going on in Coffee County with their new jail and all the great progress they're making down there. So I'd always had an interest in politics. I have a passion, especially in criminal justice, working as a special investigator that works child exploitation crimes, and so I just felt a calling to run and to represent this great district.
Speaking of that here, Brad, how do you see your experience helping you out right off the bat? Because you have experience in law enforcement, and as you mentioned, you've got a very targeted area, which a lot of people, I would assume, would be very interested in hearing your perspective on.
Absolutely. Well, if you look at my committee assignments, a lot of them revolve around criminal justice. So judiciary, correction, juvenile justice, and then we have the Joint Committee on Kansas Security, as well as legislative modernization. So at least three of those four are criminal justice focused. And, in my area, we work a lot of crimes, especially around the IT area of exploitation online. And so having that, perspective from a law enforcement officer, similar to our current representative, Eric Smith, is just vital, because not too many law enforcement officers are in the legislature. In fact, to my knowledge right now, there's none that are full-time law enforcement. So, I think it's a really important perspective to have. And let's not forget, obviously, there's a lot of issues that are not law enforcement related, such as continuing to fight for property tax relief and other important issues that I'm also studying up on and making sure that's a priority for not just myself, but the House.
Yeah, let's get some of the issues that might be at the top of the page. Something new this year, and that, Brad, is the budget process. So have you, previously, the governor's office would introduce its budget recommendations within the first several weeks of the legislative session, and then the legislature would make the alterations to the recommended budget during the next several months. But now a special legislative budget committee creating the legislature's recommended budget prior to lawmakers arriving in Topeka. So have you taken a peek at that?
Yeah, well, I've listened into some of the committee hearings online to hear the budget requests from agencies. And I think this is great because, like you just mentioned, not having the budget until a couple weeks into session, when our session is only supposed to be 90 calendar days, and that just creates a huge crunch time on trying to spend billions of dollars. And we having more time, there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm really glad the legislature took this proactive step and has been having these committee hearings ahead of time, which, by the way, are all available on YouTube. So those who are interested to hear what these agency requests are, I encourage them to go to the Kansas Legislature YouTube page.
Brad, speaking of budgetary matters, what do you see as, I guess, maybe priorities going in? Obviously, the bulk of the budget has to revolve around education. It has for decades. But what do you see here as the budgetary priorities, and what direction should those priorities take?
Sure. So, yeah, like you mentioned, education is a little over 50%. And I think I don't see and I haven't really heard of any big requests with the exception of a lot of these state agencies. Some of them are asking for new buildings, such as the KBI. And we'll see what happens. Before any huge new construction, before I'd support that, I'd need to look at, with their current building feasibility. But really, when it revolves around the budget, I think the big thing is just continuing to lower our tax burden on Kansas citizens. I mean, if you look at our state compared to our surrounding states, we have a very high tax burden, especially property tax. So I think the big push this year by leadership is going to be to try to find some property tax relief where we can, and I'll definitely be in support of that.
Again, we're talking with Kansas House 76 District Representative Brad Barrett just prior to the start of the Kansas legislative session, which will go into effect this coming Monday. You mentioned tax relief, property tax reform. Is that something you think you're going to be taking a look at, Brad?
Yeah, House leadership has really pushed this one, and I'm very much in support of it. Kansas, when it comes to property tax, most of your property tax is local. What the state has control of is about 21.5 mils. 20 of that goes to education. So if you're going to relieve that 20 mils, you're going to have to make sure, obviously, that education is continually funded. So whether that comes out of state general fund or other avenues, we want to make sure that, we're not taking a huge bite out of the apple for education. But at the same time, we also want to make sure that we're at least comparable to neighboring states when it comes to what our property taxes are, and we're just too high right now. So yes, that's definitely a priority for myself, and I know House leadership has shared that same sentiment.
And it sounds too like in watching other states, this is Kansas is not alone in trying to drive the property taxes down here. I know Nebraska had a lengthy effort in their 24 legislative, their unicameral session here last year. With that in mind, and really with some of the current strictures in play, how comfortable are you or how confident are you that we are going to see something that, A, does wind up driving down the property tax burden, B, also takes care of education at the same way?
Yeah, well, look, leadership, like I said, has made this a priority, so I think it's – and we have the supermajorities, obviously, in both sides. So even if the governor vetoes it, I think we got a really good chance of it. You mentioned Nebraska. We're right up with – them when it comes to property tax. However, we have a higher tax burden when you consider all other taxes than them as well. So it's definitely something we need to work on when it comes to funding education. We have quite a bit in the rainy day fund, and we're taking in more than what we're spending, which is good, and we want to keep it that way when it comes to making sure we don't spend more, I should say. But if we can, I think there was a $750 million is if we remove that 20 mils with the latest estimate that would cost the state general fund if we subsidize that. And that right now that looks doable, and obviously we want to look at the numbers and make sure that would maintain, and we wouldn't have to, take other measures in the future. But from what I can see, from the numbers I've seen, I think it's completely doable that we can continue to fund education without those 20 mils that are going to schools right now.
Kansas House 76 District Representative Brad Barrett with us, as, of course, the legislative session will begin on Monday. Well, we've been talking about this for many sessions and many years, and that is health care and specifically the possible expansion of Medicaid. What is your thoughts, your position on that, Brad?
Yeah, so, my opinion has stayed the same when I was asked the same question in the forum. And right now, my biggest concern if they expanded Medicaid is the future potential costs to the state, because right now, the federal government has came out with this great 90-10% match. And so if you look at the latest polls from the Kansas Health Institute, about 150,000 new enrollees is what they estimate. Now, those estimates have been off in almost every other state, but let's take that into effect. If you times that by the average cost of Medicaid, which is $8,895 per person, you're looking at $1.3 billion. 10% of that's $133 million. Doable, but then what happens when the federal government decides to reduce that match? I mean, we can't forget that the federal government is $36 trillion in debt. We're paying $1.2 trillion a year on the interest only. That's the third single highest line item budget for the federal government. So if you're the federal government, at some point you've got to quit spending money. And I think if they brought this match down back to 60-40, then we're on the hook for $500 million. And if they go even lower, it's worse. So right now, I just don't see it's financially feasible to do the expansion the governor wants. Now, that being said, it doesn't mean there's not areas for improvement. and including making sure we continue to increase Medicaid reimbursement rates and other avenues such as that to make it more compatible. Now, remember, this Medicaid expansion, it's not for the elderly, that's Medicare. This expansion would be for non-disabled adults. And currently under the Affordable Care Act, if you make between 100 and 150% of the, I'm sorry, I had my notes here, but if you make 100 and 150% of what the government considers low income, then you can get a silver plan through the Affordable Care Act now for almost nothing. So there are other options currently available, and at this time I do not support it.
Understood. Brad, a question comes to my mind here, and it's a bit of a budget question, but it's more of a long term, because the state for, what, 2.5 to 3 years was consistently ahead of its projections on a monthly basis when it comes to income tax collections and tax collections. Over the last 6 to 7 months, it's been missing more than it's been hitting or exceeding, and there have been some concerns about revenues shrinking in general, basically through the rest of the decade. How do you see planning going for that, and what I know this is a bit of an unfair question considering you haven't done this before, but what concerns do you have here about I guess maybe revenue trends, how to bolster revenues here over the next 5 years if we do start seeing those numbers continue to miss expectations?
Yeah, so that's important. We need to continue to look at the data, and we need to continue to hit on economic development. Look, of all places, I mean, Emporia knows what the kind of loss that is with Tyson leaving. It, you know, in the 76, I have, the east part of rural Emporia, and there's all of Coffee in the bottom half of Osage. And, you know, right now I've been working with Osage and Coffee on getting this CHIPS development plant in, which would be over $1 billion investment, which would create these military-grade chips that are currently being built in Taiwan. So we're trying to get all the economic development we can here in Kansas, and I want to make sure I do all I can to help Emporia as well so we can get that development into effect so we're not having those loss projections. But we got to keep pushing for economic development. So, yes, watch the data, see what the revenues are, and then try to get all the business we can here to Kansas. Because, look, people are leaving the East Coast and West Coast because of the high tax burden they're being faced with, and they're moving. And then a lot of them are going to Texas right now. A lot of them are going to Florida. So we need to make Kansas a desirable location to go, and that means lower property taxes. That means other incentives to get people to stay here who are already here and move here who are coming from other states.
So you mentioned the CHIPS in Coffee County. Any movement on that front that you've heard?
Well, I've been working with economic development in Osage County as well as some of the leadership in Coffee County. We've been in talks with the Senator Marshall's office and trying to get this pushed through. Right now, it's just still on the federal government's desk on whether they're going to send that funding or not. Now, there has been some development already near the Coffee County Airport. They're building a facility that's related to this project. And then, you know, Coffee County has already made a substantial investment in buying property. So I think we're hoping this is our option A, that we can get this through, but even if this funding isn't approved this year, there are other avenues that they're willing to take. And Coffee County right now is still in the process of hiring a new economic development director, but even with that vacancy right now, we're still working hard on getting this pushed through.
Brad, one more question that comes up from my mind is basically what other focal points do you have here in the upcoming legislative session? If you had like 2 or 3 other issues that you see yourself really diving into, what would those be?
Yeah, so a lot of them are going to revolve around criminal justice. Again, my career has been working these child exploitation crimes, and right now I'm working with the revisor's office to try to update some of our child exploitation crimes. You know, technology in all sectors, not just criminal justice, but it continues to just blow past us in our laws, right? So, like, AI is something that we didn't even think of unless you're really tech savvy 10 years ago. And so updating our child exploitation laws to include that. One thing that is going to be coming in on the Senate side that I've been providing input on and will support when it comes over to the House is buying sexual relations. You know, many states like Texas and several others have now made that a felony because we realize that 60 to 80% of those who are in prostitution are being trafficked. So when someone supports that crime, they're supporting trafficking. And so upping the offense of that, if you're buying or acquiring these women, we want to make sure you're held accountable for that. And then in addition to that, we're looking at some of the sex offender registration laws. This is something I promised when I was running for office that I thought was really important, that we have at least some restrictions on these sex offenders when it comes to living close to schools, daycare facilities. Right now in Kansas, they can live wherever they want. And I'd like to see us more like Missouri that has these regulations and says, hey, you can't live right next to a school. Not saying that we can do anything on that this legislative session because it's already starting, but I've already started the talks, and we're going to do some more research to see what other states are doing, what's been effective, and what we can do here in Kansas to protect our kids.
Brad, you did mention, supporting rural economic development, which would be a popular policy goal, I think, as we try to combat the trend of population declines, especially in Kansas rural areas. What about water management? That obviously is a big concern to many Kansas, and there was a successful effort last year to increase funding to the State Water Office. Water management, a part of what you think needs to be touched on, continue to be touched on?
Yeah, we definitely need to still look at it. And look, this is an issue I've brought up previously, and we just can't forget that, you know, our water issues on the east side of the state look a lot different than the west side, right? Most of our water here is going to be above ground. We're not at the crisis level that western Kansas is at, so we don't need a one-size-fits-all plan. But we do need to look at the future of what water looks like and make sure that everyone that's going to be affected by this is involved in the conversation. So we're talking to farmers, we're talking to rural Kansans, and make sure everyone knows that their voice is heard, and that we're going to try to find a solution in the future. So definitely it's something we need to look at. We don't want to wait until it's a crisis for the east side of the state. We need to continue to look at it, continue to fund those resources, and do what we can to make sure our water is always plentiful here on the east side of the state.
Brad, thanks so much for joining us here today. Looking forward to working with you here throughout the legislative sessions to come, and not only this year, but as long as you're 76th district representative. And thanks for your time and your insight here this morning.
Hey, yeah, thank you. And I encourage the listeners to go to vote, the number 4, then Barrett, BARRETT.com, and sign up for my legislative updates. And I'll hopefully be sending those out at least once a week during the legislative session. So thanks for having me on, and I look forward to talking to you in the future.
Yeah, we'll be in touch frequently, Brad. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. Bye.
Yeah, Kansas House 76th District Representative Brad Barrett. Beginning our legislative preview, Chuck, and next hour we'll be chatting with Kansas 17th District Senator Mike Argabright.
Yep, same topic there, and then also for Thursday's Newsmaker tomorrow, as well as we have House 6.